Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are wrapping up a three-part series on an article that was in the BYU Spring 2014 edition, Keeping the Faith by M. Sue Bergen. What can you do when a child expresses doctrinal doubts? This is something that has become a major issue within the circles of the Mormon Church. And of course, a lot of parents are perplexed when their children come home and they do have these questions that they've heard or read on the internet that certainly seem to undermine the truth claims of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I think the two professors that are interviewed for this piece, Rachel Cope and Spencer Fluman, give some pretty good advice as far as how parents should handle those questions. But in giving this advice, we find that in the past, this advice has not really been followed very well. What I mean by that is many times when we talk to people who have come out of the LDS Church, we ask them, how did your parents handle your sudden revelation that the church wasn't true? Or how are your friends able to cope with you asking these hard questions? More often than not, they are met with a negative attitude, like you shouldn't be asking these kind of questions. And yesterday, we even read a response out of Answers to Gospel Questions by a man who became the 10th president of the Mormon Church, Joseph Fielding Smith, a question that was sent to him about the Holy Ghost not having a body. Even Joseph Fielding Smith answered in a way that I thought, didn't really even answer the question.
I think we need to understand, too, you're a Christian out there who has Mormon friends, you need to understand that when they start to ask questions, there's a lot at stake here. If they end up finding out that Mormonism is not true, Mormonism is not just a religion, it's also a culture. And to tell your parents, to tell your friends and family, it could be the same as excommunication from everything you knew in the past. And so it's a really serious issue when a Mormon is open-minded enough to start looking at the information. So many Mormons that I've talked with don't want to know. They want to put their fingers in their ears and pretend that this information does not exist and just rely on this testimony that they say they have. We ought to have compassion for those folks in realizing there is a cost to their investigation of the LDS Church.
And I think it's a huge cost. And I don't think Christians sometimes realize what a high price many ex-Mormons have paid. This is why I personally get irritated when I hear professing Christians try to make it sound like there's no real big difference between Mormonism and Christianity. Oh, really? What you just did when you make a comment like that is you basically just slapped in the face all those ex-Mormons that went through a lot of harsh persecution or whatever you might call it, but they went through a lot of struggles to make that decision that they made to leave the Mormon Church. And when a professing Christian makes it sound like, oh, it's no big deal, there's not that big of a difference between us, really, you just insulted all those Latter-day Saints who had to make that difficult decision to leave their family and friends behind in their pursuit of truth.
There have been some Christians who have said, how could Mormons believe this stuff? It sounds so stupid to me. Well, that's not a good attitude either, because if you live in this culture and that's part of who you are, it's all you know. And so it might look silly maybe to you on some of the things that are there, but we need to treat that with respect and understanding to the Mormon who believes this. They really do believe it.
In yesterday's show, I read this statement that was in this article in BYU Magazine. Parents of children in this age of information have a serious obligation to be informed as possible, say the professors, and that would be Rachel Cope and Spencer Fluman. Parents don't have to be academics or have all the answers, but they can be conversant in the issues that come up most frequently. And then they go on to talk about these gospel topic essays. And we have tackled a lot of these essays. There'll probably be more that we're going to be tackling as well. But they give the impression that these gospel topic essays are the solution to many of the questions that are being raised, not just by young people within the Mormon Church, but by adults as well. The problem with these gospel topic essays is they tend to vindicate those of us who have been criticizing the Mormon Church for years because they are actually agreeing that we got it right all along. Now, while these two professors might feel that being transparent is going to help the situation, it also tends to backfire, too, because the people reading these essays start to realize, wait a minute, when I brought that up years ago, I was told that that was all lies by these antis out there. Now the church is admitting what they had been reporting all along. You see, that doesn't sit very well with a lot of Latter-day Saints either. And then you also have the problem that when they read some of these essays, especially like the race and priesthood essay, it's like the church has gotten rid of one myth, but in doing so, they've created another myth.
Brigham Young.
Yeah, it was all Brigham Young's fault. He was the one that started all this, which we know that that's not true. And plus, when they tell their people that we don't really know why blacks weren't allowed to hold the priesthood up until 1978, when all you need do is jump on MRM.org, we'll tell you all the reasons why they were not allowed to hold the priesthood prior to 1978. And it's not that difficult to find this information. And where are we finding the information? We're finding it from LDS sources. So though these essays might be a help in one area, it could be a big, huge hindrance in another area.
For too long, the Mormon Church has had its finger in the dam and trying to hold it back, but the internet's much bigger than that. They can only keep so much hidden. The internet has brought bad things, of course, all kinds of problems, but at the same time, the information that we have has just exploded, and now anyone with their computer in the privacy of their own home can find information that 30 years ago, they would have had to know which books to get and then find those books.
Yeah, I guess the point that I'm trying to bring out about this paragraph that deals with the essays is when a truth-seeking Latter-day Saint wants to get answers on these issues, they're going to find that the answers are not going to be very pretty. Once you start opening that Pandora's box to find out the answers to your questions, you're opening yourself up for probably a lot of heartache.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably one reason why a lot of Latter-day Saints say, I don't even want to look into it. I'm happy where I'm at. I don't want to pursue this journey for truth, and that's really what it is. I would much rather believe my fables than actually have to pursue truth, because pursuing truth is going to come at such a high cost.
Yeah, if you're a Latter-day Saint out there, we're not trying to tell you to get rid of all your faith. Of course, we're not trying to say that. But if Mormonism is not true, then you need to figure out what is true. If Mormonism is not true, it's not worth staying in.
In order to combat this negativity that a lot of people who have questions face within the Mormon community, Fluman and Cope, at the very end of this piece, it says, Fluman and Cope suggest ways you can support a loved one who is asking difficult questions or expressing doubts.
And I think the points that we're going to list here, Bill, are actually good for Christians as well. I think this is a good list if you're a Christian out there and maybe having some doubts, or you know somebody that's having doubts, even your own children. These might be some good tactics, so there's something positive, I guess, that comes out of this article.
Well, we don't have time to go through every one of the bullet points, but we do want to highlight some. For instance, they say, do create an atmosphere of warmth and openness in your home that invites conversations on difficult topics of all kinds.
Nothing is taboo. Everything is open. As a parent, I want to be able to hear what my kids have to ask.
As a parent, that was a common practice in the McKeever household, because at dinner, we would talk about these issues. What did you hear? What's bothering you? What's on your mind? What kind of questions do you have? We used to do that around the table. My kids remember all those days. Nothing was off limits.
Another one is, do react matter-of-factly and kindly to questions, no matter how distressing they might be to you personally.
Now, that's going to be a tough one, because some of these questions are probably going to be very tough for a parent to try and answer, and they probably will realize they're going to come with huge repercussions.
And as a parent, you don't have to know everything. You can say, you know what, that's a great question. I haven't thought that all the way through. Let me do a little research and I'll get back to you.
It says, do acknowledge what you don't know. I think that's important. Kids don't like to be fooled. They want to know facts. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. In fact, my kids make fun of me now because, well, they'll come to me and ask me a question. I'll say, I don't know. And it's like I'm shattering this view that they always had of me, that dad had all the answers.
You're not omniscient, Bill.
I'm not omniscient. Okay. I wasn't even when they were young. You know, but anyway.
And the older you get, the more you realize you don't know.
That's a fact.
Another bullet point. Do encourage your children to trust their spiritual instincts, their ability to get answers, and their ability to make a meaningful connection with God and with Scripture. And that might be a hard one to trust your kids with that. But as they get older, they're going to have to come up with their own answer. I taught for many years in a Christian school, and my mantra, I said it almost every week, was for the kids to own their own faith. It was no longer time for them to borrow their parents' faith because they had done it for 16 years. It was time now to find out what is true and embrace that truth.
One of the bullet points here I think is very important, where they say, don't shut down a child who has a difficult question. Even remarks that might seem innocuous, such as, where did you hear that, can be interpreted as disapproval of the question itself. Oh my goodness, I cannot recall how many times I've had people call me up at the office and they are struggling with their faith, and they tell me the story that they tried to go to some friends with these questions, and the first thing they were asked is, where did you get that? On some anti-Mormon website? Because it was on a website that was not quote-unquote friendly to Mormonism, that somehow that information was bad. As we've talked about many times here, that's a genetic fallacy. Just because it comes from a source that might not be considered friendly does not mean the information is false.
And another bullet point that's related to what you just said, don't express disappointment in your loved one or convey fear about his or her spiritual standing. They can sense when that there's something there, and they'll be scared to come back to ask questions if you're going to make it that way.
But you have to also understand that if a loved one within a Mormon family starts to have doubts, that has repercussions on the whole family.
Sure,
because
sure
the whole goal of salvation in a Mormon context is to be with your family as a family unit. If you have a loved one who no longer believes in Mormonism, that means that there is the potential there of that person not being with you in the eternities. Mm-hmm. And of course, that has a huge negative effect on family members to know that one of the loved ones in the family is not going to be a part of it. And in fact, they sometimes will look at you as disrupting the order that was once there in their view of salvation. Anyway, we are encouraged by what we're seeing within the Mormon church. Our prayer is that those that are coming out of the LDS church will find a saving relationship with the Jesus of the Bible.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to visit the Holy Land? If so, we've got an opportunity for you. Bill McKeever and Derek Johnson from Mormonism Research Ministry will be hosting a trip to Israel and Turkey in February 2015. We start with an optional 7-day trip to Turkey, as we'll see the seven churches of Revelation, including Ephesus, Laodicea, and Pergamum. Then, we head to Israel for 11 days, where we'll see amazing sights such as Caesarea, Upper Galilee, the Dead Sea, and Jerusalem. There'll be a special Joel Kramer Day as we climb up to Cave 1 in Qumran and see some incredible biblical sites. Your price includes airfare, 3- and 4-star hotels, professional guides and bus drivers, buffet meals, and all taxes and tips. To learn more, we invite you to visit mrm.org and click on the Israel icon in the top right-hand corner of the page. Every family who signs up receives a complimentary copy of Joel Kramer's Jericho Unearthed. Again, please visit mrm.org to find out more about this exciting trip. No doubt, an experience that will forever change your life.